Amen. Thank you, Quartet. Thank you so much. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I ask you to bear with me. I put up with my old crippled voice this morning. I'm going to need help from the sound room. It's very evident, more than anything, I need help from God. I want to begin to read today in verse number 1. And in order for you to get an understanding of the context of our text verse, we need to read through verse 28. If you'll stand with me out of love and respect for God's word, then we shall begin to read in verse number 1, Acts chapter 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise that God, or promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serve God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. Now listen to me, dear friends. Paul has just told us about his life before Jesus Christ. He put Christians in prison. He did things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. He had some put to death. He was a sinful, angry man. His anger was against Christ and Christianity. But now then, on the way to Damascus, to persecute more Christians, God meets with him. And he said, when we had were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Let me stop here and say to you, many of our people in our Spanish department try to convince me that heaven speaks Spanish. But I said, prove it in the Bible. I can prove that God speaks Hebrew. It's right here in the scripture. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. Here in these two verses, Paul got saved and heard the call of God to preach the gospel right after he got saved. And he said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that would rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest, Paul said. And then verse 28, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, not completely, almost, he's close, but not there. He's not saved, but he's closer than he's ever been in his life. Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And I want to speak to you from verse 28, where Agrippa said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to speak to you on the subject, almost a Christian. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message to make plain and clear the tragedy of just being almost a Christian. Your salvation has been purchased. It's been provided. We don't have to be almost saved. We can be completely saved and know it. We can have the assurance that our sins are forgiven and that heaven is our home. Now I ask you today, dear God, to speak through me and help me to be clear in showing these dear folks how important it is not to settle for almost, but give their heart and their life completely to Jesus Christ, trusting Christ and Him alone as their Savior. Now, Father, there are some people here today that the best they can say is, I'm almost a Christian. But almost a Christian is still to be completely lost and on their way to hell. Save every unsaved person listening to my voice, and cause those of us who know you to love you that much more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul had been arrested while at Jerusalem fulfilling a vow that he had made. He had won many Gentiles to the Lord. And because of that, he was hated by the unbelieving Jews in Jerusalem. A mob of unbelieving Jews tried to kill Paul before he was taken into custody. After he was taken into custody, he appeared before the council, the same council he used to sit on, the same council that condemned Jesus to death. This mob had plotted Paul's death and had made an oath that they would not eat nor drink until they had ended his life. Now, under the cover of darkness, 70 horse soldiers, 200 foot soldiers, and 200 spearmen took Paul from Jerusalem and took him to Caesarea for his protection. Now in Caesarea, Paul is allowed to appeal his case before Felix. Felix was the governor of Palestine. And then he appealed before Festus, a new current governor. And then finally before King Agrippa, who was king over a province near Palestine. In our scripture, Paul is making his appeal before King Agrippa II. Now, let me tell you who this guy was. He was the son of Herod I, who killed James. He's the grandson of Herod Antipas, who had beheaded John the Baptist and mocked Christ. He is the great-grandson of Herod the Great, who had murdered the children at the birth of Jesus. Man, this was a good family, wasn't it? And Paul is standing before him now, appealing with a testimony of his own personal salvation. He tells how many years he had lived wickedly and how that he had been set free, how he had been saved through Jesus Christ. And then he drew the net and extended an invitation for this King Agrippa to be saved. And King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Today I want to speak to you about almost being a Christian. I've had a lot of people tell me when I visited them, well, preacher, I'm almost a Christian. But I want you to know how lost you are if all you are is almost a Christian. You know, there's a lot of things a person can be and still not be a Christian. You can be born in a Christian country and still die and go to hell. Almost, but not quite. You can be a person that weeps and is emotional at religious services. You may sing your heart out, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Weeping doesn't make you a Christian. You can be brought up in a Christian home by Christian parents, but that doesn't make you a Christian either. You may be like so many that have been educated at homeschooling or in a Christian school, You go on and graduate from a Christian Bible college and still not be a Christian. None of that, makes you a Christian. Oh, you may know the scripture and you may quote verses and you may sing the songs and you may talk the talk. But if you've never been born again, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You'll have to stand before God one day and say, almost, I had every opportunity. But the best I could do was almost. I never trusted Jesus. A person can be connected of a Bible-believing Baptist church like this one and even do works in that church. But that doesn't make a person a Christian either. You can be buried in a Christian manner and have a Christian funeral. I'm amazed today going to funerals. And people that I know that have lived wickedly and ungodly. When they get through with the funeral, you think they're the most wonderful person in the world. Well, Christian funeral is not going to get you to heaven. Without Christ, without a personal, individual faith in Jesus Christ, who died on that old rugged cross, there's not one chance in 10 billion you can slip into heaven. No matter how many good works you've done and how much money you might have given, the best you'll ever say is eyes closed. Almost. Let me tell you, almost a Christian burns in hell forever, just like those who've never even been in a church. In fact, Jesus said to hear the gospel and not accept Jesus, in the day of judgment, he'd have more mercy on the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah than he will on that person that hears and does not accept Christ. What does make a person a Christian? How can one know for sure that he's saved and he's going to heaven when he dies? Is there any evidence that we can be saved and know it? I meet people all the time that said, well, I don't believe you know that. Well, you can't know it the way they're going. But you can know that you know that you know you're saved if you come to God through Jesus Christ, the Bible way. Well, the Bible promises that. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know you have eternal life. Do you know? What good is any religion that cannot give you the assurance that heaven's your home? Why in the world would you want to participate in any kind of religion that requires you to do, and leave you unsure? Well, I'm here to tell you the Bible that God has given us and the way of salvation presented in the Bible is not a think so, maybe so, or hope so salvation. It presents a no-so salvation. A salvation where our sins are forgiven, blotted out, cleansed, washed away, and never remembered again. Oh, my dear friends, you would think when God moves inside a person that that person would know he's saved. And God only moves inside of us when we accept Jesus as Savior. We are indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And one of His jobs is to bear witness with our spirit that we're children of God. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know, not think, not hope, but know that you pass from death unto life. Know that you're saved. The simplest verse I believe in the Bible is 1 John 5:12. Every word in it is a one-syllable word. You don't have to worry about pronouncing them. They're so simple. And here's what it says. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Very simple. The question is, do you have Jesus living in here? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you put your trust in Him? Well, my dear friend, without trusting Him and Him alone, you're never going to get religious enough to know that you're saved. You're going to live in doubts and uncertainty for the rest of your life. A person that knows they're saved can remember accepting Jesus as Savior. Now, some of you can remember joining a church. You may remember getting baptized. But you can't for the life of you remember telling God you're a sinner and asking Jesus to be your Savior. Whether you said it out loud at an altar or where you said it silently in your pew, you can't remember it if you've not done it. But if you've trusted Jesus, God has written it indelibly on your heart. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit of God to keep bringing it to memory, giving you that assurance because you've trusted Him as Savior. Why? You cannot convince me I'm not saved. You cannot convince me I'm not going to heaven. Not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm good. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I've got the assurance of the written word of God, and I've got the assurance of the Holy Spirit of God who lives in here, and I can say with the scripture, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You know that your sins have been paid for through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And you have believed with all your heart upon Him. Then you know. You know. You see, there's not two ways of salvation. You don't have to sit out there and say, I wonder if I did it. I did it the best way. There's not two ways. There's only one way. And that's the best way. That's God's way. God planned it. God paid the price for it. God provides it. All we have to do is accept it as a free gift. And when we do, oh, we'll never get over it. We'll never get over it. One who believes that they have been redeemed only by the blood of Jesus Christ is a Christian. And he can be sure that heaven's his home. Now listen, salvation is not Jesus plus church membership. Not Jesus plus church membership and good works. Salvation is trusting Jesus. Now after you get saved, you've got a reason to get in church and serve Him. You've got a reason to live for Him. Now, I wonder if some of you are really saved because you act like you don't have a reason to serve God. When He lives in here, you know your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have this promise in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. even the forgiveness of sins. I was just in Chicago area helping in the funeral of Miss Carla Gomez, 54-year-old wife of Pastor Keith Gomez. 60 days ago, she didn't know she had any problems. Then all of a sudden, she got to hurting, went to the doctor. And from there on, one thing after another, until they told her that she had cancer, untreatable and incurable throughout her body. Doctors gave her 6 weeks to live. She didn't live 6 weeks. And I was telling just a little bit about her life, how that she was responsible for getting the hippie Cajun boy, Keith Gomez, to church to hear the gospel. He got saved the first time he came to church, first time he heard, first time he had ever been in any kind of church other than the Catholic church, and he seldom ever went there. Came to an old-fashioned Baptist church, heard the gospel, got under conviction and came forward and trusted Christ as Savior. She was responsible for getting him there. God began to work in his heart and work on his life, and he was an old long-haired hippie. He began to cut off his hair. They had pictures of Brother Gomez and Mrs. Gomez right before they got married. And they said, "Oh, that was our preacher." I told them, "Wait a minute, that's when he cleaned up." Man, he'd already been to the barbershop about 3 times. He'd cut his beard off. I got to tell you this. They had a video of Miss Carla's life and so forth. And just right before she got sick, just right before, during turkey season, she and Keith went turkey hunting together and bow hunting, and she shot a turkey, you know, with a bow and killed it and went out there in her camouflage skirt and top and picked it up, held it up. And Brother Keith said, "This is Carla bagging her first turkey." And I told the church, I said, "I'm sorry, that's not correct." I said, "She's bagged one other turkey. He had a beard but no tail feathers." But anyway, Brother Keith began to get concerned about soul winning, concerned about being at every service, and she began to kind of push back on it. He began to learn to tithe and give, and she began to back up on that. And she said to him, and by the way, Keith had grown to the place now where he was serving his first 6 months as a young deacon. Carla was beginning to push. And one day, going home from church, she said, "Keith, I don't think what I have in here is what you have in there." That night, he knelt at an altar. He made a lot of trips to the altar. He had a lot to get right over. But as he knelt there at the altar, she lay, knelt there beside him, put her hand on his back and said, "Honey, I'm not saved." Oh, she was a good girl. A member of the church. Came regularly. She was almost a Christian. But she had never invited Jesus into her heart. And that night she did. Changed her life. Just like Jesus would change your life if you would invite him into your heart. There's no substitute. Either you're saved or you're not. You're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. almost being a Christian does not get you one inch into that pearly gate. Now, what is it to be almost a Christian? Well, you may see your sinful and lost condition and not confess it. Almost a Christian means you know you're going to hell as you are, and you want to go to heaven, but you're doing nothing to trust Jesus as your Savior. Being almost a Christian is to believe that Jesus died for our sins, but you have not accepted Him as your Savior. Being almost a Christian is to attend church and to feel the Holy Spirit's conviction saying you need to be saved and do absolutely nothing about it. If you're here today and you're almost a Christian, what's your future? Well, it's hell. Hell will be worse on almost Christians than on those who have never heard the gospel one time. Are you one of those almost Christians? If you are, I want you to know then you are 100% unsaved. You can be 100% sure, though, that you are saved. You can get out of the almost category. You can get into the I know category. But you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must. It's urgent. It's necessary. And there's no other way. Father, that's our message this morning. Oh, dear God, speak to our